Good morning. Does everyone have a book? Everybody has one? All right. Okay, I'm going to try to make a very quick review. It's going to be spotty, okay, but I want to at least touch and then get up to where we ended last week. So we started out talking about what is money. And we had multiple definitions of money, but basically it became a way of doing barter. And the simplest definition I'd seen was it's a tool. And then we talked about uses of money and three things you can do with it. You can spend it, you can save it, and you can give it away. We talked about perspective of money, and that everything that we have belongs to God. We are only stewards of what He provides to us. We said that if we've been unfaithful in the unrighteous mammon, then who will commit to your trust the true riches? Then we talked about some common bad or financial advice or sayings. One that most people's heard is make as much money as you can as long as you make it honestly or morally or whatever. Then we talked about a financial plan. And we said the steps to a financial plan were, one, to have a starter emergency fund. And next, you needed to pay off all debt except your mortgage. And then we built a full emergency fund, which was 3 to 6 months of living expenses. Then you began saving 15% of household income for retirement. Then you could save for a college fund for children. Then you pay off your mortgage. And lastly, you build wealth and give. Okay? After the financial plan, we started talking about a budget. How do we do this? We know what we want to do now. That's our plan. So how do we actually go about doing it? And we said that you had to account for, in a budget, you had to account for income. Then you had to account for spending, saving, giving. And then lastly, we defined something called mad money, which was mom and dad money. It was a way of giving. And let me say something. If you're single, you still get it. Okay? It's... I don't necessarily think about all these things, okay, but it still works. It's just you don't have someone to negotiate this with, but you have to sit down and do an honest evaluation and say, hey, I can give myself this much money, okay? And then I guess you are to some extent accountable to yourself for it, but regardless of whether you are or not, you're accountable to God. So we discussed these topics. Let me get through them quickly. Giving. Mad money. Okay. And then we started into debt last week. And we covered that to get out of debt, you must stop using debt. You're not going to borrow yourself out of debt. That it's not just a financial decision, it's a lifestyle decision. I chose that word when I was making this lesson. If y'all let me, I want to change that word. Because it is a lifestyle decision, but it's more of a heart decision. So I'd rather be a little more specific with that one. And the point of this is instead of your money controlling you, you control your money. Okay? You tell it what it's going to do for you as opposed to it controlling you and what you can and cannot do. Then we made it down. This is where we made it to. We made it to the debt snowball. Now, in debt last week, in discussing it, I brought up a topic in credit and then a FICO score, and then after that I said something about an ESG. It's environmental social governance, okay? So it was funny because I went to work this week and a headline popped up, and I'd like to share it with you. This is from Wednesday, January the 18th. This was on CNBC, okay? Fairly well-known left-wing, but well-known financial site. The title of this article is Bank of America CEO says capitalism needs cleaning up with new global ESG rules. Okay, I told you this existed for companies now, and it's a hot topic, okay, because some people are opinion that you should only invest in companies with high ESG scores. Others say, I don't care. I'm investing to make money, so I don't really care about that. I just want to make money, okay? this article had four key points to it, and I want to share those with you. So the first key point is basically the title of the article, but it says Bank of America Chief Executive Brian Moynihan told the World Economic Forum in Davos that official global standards on sustainability and climate were needed to align capitalism with what society wants from it. What society? This is what was published, and this is what a lot of people go read, and they go, I accept it. The next point was Moynihan supports the work of a new International Sustainability Standards Board. Here we go. Let's handpick a few people and say you're in charge of determining what makes an ESG score and how it's assigned. An investment manager, a consumer, society, others can sit there and say, here's a line that is acceptable, and you're either above it or below it. That's a quote, okay? So we say ESG, here's the line. You're either above that line or below that line. His last point, if you're below it, we shouldn't do business with you. There was a lot of discussion when the vaccine came out for COVID for that being the mark of the beast. That might be your second one. Just as a forerunner, I don't know that it sticks. I don't know when it's actually going to happen. For now, it's not for individuals. So if you try to go find your ESG score, probably not going to find it. I haven't found where individuals have gotten it yet. But companies, yes. So, anyway, I'll get off that rabbit trail and let's get back to debt. So we made it up to debt snowball. So this is how, if we have debt and we have multiple debts, how do we get rid of them? What is a process for getting out of debt? The first thing we want to do is we're going to list all the debts we have. Except a mortgage, okay, or a large student loan. We're going to hold those two and do those a little different. But all your other debts, so this is credit card, automobile, you know, small student loans, personal loans, anything like that, we're going to list them from smallest to largest. Principal amount from smallest to largest. Okay? Once we list them, we're going to pay the minimum on all the debts except the smallest one, which is at the top of that list. And we're going to throw everything we can at that one debt. Okay? The point of it being to pay that debt off so that we can then take the money we were putting toward that first debt, plus we were already putting the minimum toward the next debt down, we combine them and pay toward that second debt. So now it's a larger amount of money going to the second debt. Once it's paid off, you take that money plus the minimum you were paying on the third and you go to the third. Okay? That's the snowball effect. You may not be paying a lot toward that first debt. That's one of the reasons you want the smallest amount first. You need to get one of them gone. Then you have a little bit more money to apply to the next debt. So I put an example up. It's not mathematically correct, okay? I didn't sit down and run actual numbers to do it, but it's an example. So if you got two credit cards, two automobiles, and what we'll call a small student loan with these balances on them, then we're going to list them in this order, okay? Smallest to largest. And we're going to pay the minimum. There's a minimum payment which will keep you in good standing with your creditor. And you're going to pay that minimum payment on everything except that first one. And that first one, literally every nickel, dime, penny you can come up with, you're going to pay toward it. There shouldn't be outside of your emergency fund. Remember, we do have that, so when something goes wrong, we can deal with it and not stop this process. But outside of that, you don't have money left over. It's literally everything you can put toward that debt, you put toward it, toward the first one on the list. So if you do this, and it'll take a period of time, by the time you pay that first one off, then this is what the list would look like revised. If you noticed, each of the numbers did come down a little bit. Paying the minimum does reduce the principal a little. What was it, 14 years paying the minimum? Okay, so if you just pay the minimum, it'd take about 14 years to pay it off. Okay, so we're speeding that process up. We paid a little bit on them because we were just paying the minimum here. The first debt's gone, so whatever money we were able to come up with for that first debt, we add it to the minimum we were paying on this second debt, and we pay all that toward the second debt. Okay. Once you repeat this process until this list is gone, okay, when a debt is paid off, so in our example, credit card number one, when that debt is paid off, cancel the account. As long as that account is sitting there and that card is in your pocket, there's a temptation that Baskin and Robbins just became an emergency. Okay? That's not an emergency. So, doing this is not necessarily easy. Okay? It's not an easy thing. But it is a simple thing. And how fast you can eliminate those debts is purely dependent on you. And I'll give you two options, okay? Two possibilities here. So first, if based on your income and the debts you have, you can't find a way to execute the debt snowball as we laid it out, you may need to eliminate or sell. Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Either you may need to eliminate or sell either things that are on that list, a debt, and an automobile's probably the easiest one in that, okay? I get you're not going to sell a credit card. So if you've got an automobile on there, it may need to go away, okay? Or you can sell other items to generate money to put toward the smallest debt on your list at the time. Guys, you got a set of golf clubs you aren't using? Ladies, I don't know what to pick on here, but an extra pair of shoes, dress. But the point being, if you want to do this and do this as quickly as possible, guess what there may be? Some sacrifice. And it may get painful. I'm going to share a story in a minute that kind of pulls this together. I'll tell it when we get there. But anyway, you can either do that. That's option one. Sell items. Get rid of items. Okay? Or number two, increase your income. Okay? Now, that can come in a lot of forms. It doesn't mean you can walk into your boss's office and say, I messed up, I got a bunch of debt, I'm trying to get out, give me a big pay raise. Probably not going to go over, okay? But you can do your job, do it well, and potentially get pay raises and promotions at the company you're at. The other thing you can do is learn new skills and go get another job, okay? I get loyalty. Believe me, spent 17 and a half years at one job. So I get it. But if it's not paying you what you're worth, then you may need to walk away so that you can handle this part in your life. I wished I knew the next slide before I pulled it up. Okay, I think I do know what it is, so I won't stop here and I'll tell this story. So, a preacher, I'm not going to say his name because, one, I don't know his name. And I told him I didn't want to know it because I told him I was going to use it for this when I spoke to him. He said it was fine. But a preacher that preached in this church mentioned debt when he was preaching. So afterwards I talked to him, told him that we had already set up to teach this class, and asked if he would explain to me where he was and what he did to change things. Mortgage, and a rather large one, two automobiles, credit cards, eaten out constantly, anything they wanted to go do, they went and did, you know. The standard husband, wife, 2.1 kids, 3.1 pets, you know, all those standard numbers. He explained all this. And I asked him, I said, were you living the American dream? He says, by the world standard, I was the American dream. He had it all. He had everything that he could want. And what he didn't have, he just went and got. But it was all on debt. And God got a hold of his heart and showed him that there's a problem with this and you need to fix it. So he started. Him and his wife, in agreement, started. Sold the house, sold both vehicles. No more eating out. Okay? They did have some equity in things, so when they sold the vehicles, they went and got junkers. Okay? Call them what you want, but they got a vehicle that would get them where they needed to go and back, but that was it. No bells, no whistles, not brand new, not fancy, none of that. They sold the house and started renting. How many in here has heard rents throwing away money? Yep, okay. It can be, but when it prevents you from going into debt, it may be a good thing, okay? You have to weigh that. It's not easy to tell someone you need to buy a house or you don't need to buy a house, you need to rent. But you've got to find that balance, and it's got to be one that you can live through for the duration of it. If you go sign up for a mortgage, you better have a plan of how you're going to pay that mortgage for the duration of it, okay? Anyway, they sold everything, got out of debt, living debt-free. I asked him, I said, I got one question I'm curious about. He said, ask. I said, blessings on you and your family now versus when you were in debt. He said, it's no comparison. He said, we were blessed. Don't get me wrong. We were blessed. But we were nowhere near God's full blessing with that debt. And he says, every night we laid down to go to sleep, we worried about, can we make the mortgage payment this month? Can we make the car note? Hey, where are we going to eat? Okay? It's a cycle. And they got into it and lived the American dream. But he found out that American dream can be a nightmare. Okay? All right. So we've talked about the debt snowball and how to get rid of your smaller items, smaller student loans, all that. The next one we've got is a mortgage. Okay. Before we start on this, any questions, comments? Y'all being quiet today. All right, so mortgage. We take mortgage, and you can add with this large student loans. We take those separate because they're a larger amount of money. They're going to take a longer time to pay off. And they also require more discipline because you've got to keep this up for the duration of that loan. Okay? So I tried to take some standard numbers without going crazy and just look at what a mortgage would be. So I took a $150,000 mortgage at 6% interest for 30 years, and it began this month. Okay? So sometime in January, we went and signed up for a 6% 30-year $150,000 mortgage. What does that actually mean to us? Well, your payment, and I'm going to round numbers, okay? Your payment's $900 a month. You're going to pay a total of about $325,000 back on that mortgage. And you're going to pay it off December the 1st of 2052. Okay? Okay. So, let's say that we're in this. What do we do about it? Okay? So, one of the things you can do is increase the amount you pay each month. Anything that you pay above that $900, that $900 is called your principal and interest or P&I payment, okay? Anything you pay above that goes to principal. I think I'm correct in saying that the law says you can't prepay interest anymore. Isn't that correct? Okay. I thought that was true. Used to, if you sent in extra and didn't define what it was, the bank could go, oh, well, that was for interest. Yeah. A little crooked, okay? You can't do that anymore. So anything additional you send in goes to the principal, goes to the actual amount that you owe, okay? So that does something. If you pay a little bit extra this month, then what you're charged interest on next month went down by that amount of extra that you paid, okay? So this is also a snowball effect, and it can get very, very fast if you are very consistent in doing this, okay? All right, so let's look at some examples, and the first one I want to look at is just $25 a month extra, okay? So our payment's now $925 a month, okay? That's the 25 increase. But here's your total paid, and the date you pay it off, you cut $15,000 off of the total of what you paid, but you cut 2 years off of making payments. So you effectively made that a 28-year mortgage. And no, I didn't back calculate the percentage it would be at now. But in doing this, you accelerated paying the principal down. You paid it down faster. So more of each payment goes to principal. Okay? So $15,000, 2 years. Not bad. If you would have paid an extra $50 a month, payment's $950, right? Just add $50 to it. You now save $26,000 and you cut almost 4 years off. Now, all this is dependent on the balance that you start with and the interest rate, okay? The higher the interest rate, the faster this works. The lower the interest rate, the slower it works. But it has the same effect, okay? If you go to $100 a month extra, your payment's now $1,000 instead of $900. But you save $45,000 and cut over 6.5 years off of it. And I think there's one more, or maybe two more. Okay, $150 saves you $60,000 and cuts 9 years off. And $200 extra a month will save you $72,000 and cut almost 11 years off. Okay? It might not be easy to pay $200 a month extra on a mortgage, but if you cut 11 years off of that mortgage, and that means that once it's done, you get 11 years you'll still have the money to make the payment, right? That didn't change. That money's coming in that you can turn around and save, invest, give. Okay, can be huge. All right. Yes, ma'am.
About 15-year mortgages, are they?
It works the same way. Typically, when you get a 15-year mortgage, you'll get a lower interest rate, okay, because it's shorter term. They'll give you a little bit lower rate. Isn't that still okay? It's nice to have somebody to fact check me as I'm going in. But the principle of the method works the same. It, regardless of what your payment is, whether it's $100 a month or $10,000 a month, if you pay extra, it goes to the principal, and that cuts off money paid and time. You pay it off early. So when it comes to a mortgage, there's some kind of accepted rule of thumbs. If you're looking at getting a mortgage to buy a house, then look at it on a 15-year mortgage. Okay, and the monthly payment is no more than 25% of your take-home household pay. So if both work, you get to count them both. If it's only one, you only count one. But 25% on a 15-year. I don't necessarily agree with the 25%. As the cost of just living goes up, your food, clothes, gas, just things you have to live your life. I don't know, you know, if you find a budget that would allow for 25% to go to home and 75% cover everything else, but you've got the tools to develop a plan, develop a budget. In that budget, you can make that determination. Okay? This would just be the maximum. Should be no more than that. Yes, sir?
Do you agree that most people on average overspend, overbuy? Like, I personally know people that bought out in this was a neighborhood. They couldn't afford furniture for the house, but they had an address, had an exclusive area.
Yes.
I mean, and they'll give it to you, and then I've seen people slay to their house.
Correct.
Because they just want the nicer, bigger, better, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Called house poor. And yes, the old saying, if I can put all this together and get it right, is people spending money they don't have on things they don't need to impress people they don't like. I think I got that right, but and it is, and I've seen it several times. But I just started a new job, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, whatever. And in there, I've seen it, and I've seen it directly around automobiles. Most of y'all have seen my truck I drive. You've seen Amy's car. Hers is a 2010. Mine's an 06. There's nothing fancy about them. Hers has more problems than mine, but mine's getting to its last leg, and I keep driving it. And people ask, they go, why don't you go buy a vehicle? Why do I want to? There's a difference there. That decision that we said wasn't just financial, that it was lifestyle, and this morning I said it's really heart. What do I need a $70,000 truck for? If you have one, great, enjoy it. I'm not in a position to afford that and be able to do the other things that I need and want to do. And that want's not Baskin Robbins, just to be sure we don't get too far from them. But no, you're right, and they do it with everything. Look at clothes people buy, you know. It still floors me that a pair of blue jeans costs more than $20, but it does, But people will go pay $200, $250 for a pair of blue jeans. Yeah, with less fabric than mine have. Mom used to patch those holes. Now they want to show them off, right? But no, people, human, I think human nature, for me to be able to stand up here and go, ooh, I got a new truck, or ooh, you ought to come see my house. Don't come see my house. But that is what drives people. They want to impress their people with the automobile they drive, the house they live in, the clothes they wear, the crowd they run with, the trip to Baskin Robbins four, five times a week. Okay, any of those things. It's all the same thing. Correct. That's right. And here's the problem. You know who comes up with those advertisements? Psychologists. Yeah. If you think that there's not certain colors that make you feel or think certain ways, certain words that give you certain feelings, yeah. And that's what drives advertisement, is psychologists. How can we manipulate humans and their mind?
I tell you, when you really, really want something, I mean, you get a new shotgun, I don't know what you lay on it first or whatever. It's almost like it overtakes you. Like, well, I know I can't afford it. I know I'm going to have to, you know, scrimp and save on it, but I really, really want it. It's almost like you lose your mind.
Yeah. I did it one time. There was something I really, really wanted, and so I was like, I'm getting it, and I learned a big lesson in that. It wasn't a big ticket item, okay? I mean, it wasn't something I had to go borrow money for or nothing else, but I took cash that I had in my hand, and I purchased something with it that I really didn't need. I just wanted, and I learned a huge lesson in that for me, and now, how long have I wanted a new boat? 10 years? Yeah, and it's not happened, you know, and I go look, I'll look, I go look, you know, online and stuff, and it's like, yeah, that's pretty much what I want, and then I look down there and see the price tag, and I go, it's not worth it. You got a good salesman over here, do you? All right. If I explained to you the boat I wanted, I'm pretty sure this one wouldn't meet it, because I need a small little aluminum boat with a 25 horse. Yeah. So that's my problem, and I've been called tightwad and everything else because of it, and I'm fine with that. We go fishing. We have two boats, okay? Neither one of them's big or fancy. One of them's that Dad bought and I just ended up with. We go fishing in them. We can still fish out of them. Are they that comfortable and all that? No, they're not. But I look at the price of a new one and I go, it's not worth it. And most of the used ones that I found aren't. So I may never buy another one. And that's fine with me. I finally learned that I may want something, but it doesn't mean I have to have it. It may mean I just need to wait a little while and then I can get exactly what I want. Cheap. Cheap. But I may never, and that's okay. You know, there's... Yeah. Yes. And look, I'll back up. When it comes to debt, the easiest debt most people get into is credit card debt. And they can run it up big, okay? I mean, you can end up with $25,000, $50,000 in credit card debt. And that's easy because most people don't associate swiping that plastic with any kind of pain. It's, oh, I don't have to deal with it now. It's down the road, okay? It's the mentality that they have. So, yeah, they can run them up very, very large. And so in most instances, when you're dealing with somebody trying to get out of debt, the number one thing is go destroy all your credit cards right now. I said you can't borrow yourself out of debt. You can't use debt to get out of debt. That's part of it. It's too easy. But believe me, credit cards and how they work, guess who's designed that? Psychologists. We're nothing but a bunch of guinea pigs, okay? Yes, sir.
I got a question that I've been asked before, and it's about consolidating debt into one loan and then going and then paying all that. What are your thoughts on that?
If it costs you something, it's probably not worth it. You can do the same things on your own.
You're taking that money and just going out more money. That's all you're doing.
Yeah. Now, if there's an issue, and I don't know what one would be, okay, but if there's an issue with the fact of making, say, six payments because there's six debts, consolidating them into one probably isn't a completely bad thing unless it costs you money. And if it's going to change the terms, change the interest rate in a longer or higher thing, then I probably would advise against it. Yeah, so, boy. Okay, let's go there. So here's the thing. 99% of people that get into debt don't get into debt over a math problem. It's over a heart problem. Okay? So math isn't going to solve your heart problem. It's when I went over the debt snowball and I said list, can I go backwards? Awesome. Okay, never mind. So when I said list them smallest to largest by principal, I didn't say by interest rate. Well, if it's a math problem, put your highest interest rate first and pay it off. Okay? But most of them aren't. I can come up with some situations where I would say it's a math problem and I might would advise that way, but in general, I wouldn't. There's another thing on mortgages. There's companies that'll set you up to pay half of your mortgage payment every 2 weeks instead of paying a full once a month. Anybody heard of those? Yeah. So don't. It works. Don't get me wrong. Don't pay them to do it. If you don't know how, come see me. I'll be happy to run your numbers and tell you exactly what to do. But what you're doing by paying every 2 weeks is you actually make 26 payments, which is 13 months, and you make one extra payment a year. That's how they're doing that. But they want to charge you money to do it and set it up for you, and you don't have to.
I've seen people take out home equity loans or consolidate loans. When you've got a smaller payment now, consolidate, what do you now have? More money. I've got more. I mean, if I can pay the bill, you look at the checking account, I've got a lot more money. I can afford this. Digging themselves deeper, not realizing.
And furthermore, 0% interest for the first, whatever, 6 months or whatever. Because once you get them to purchase something on it that they can't pay off and that introductory time expires, now you start paying interest on it. Yep. Oh, does it? I didn't know that. Oh, that's more dirty. Okay. Oh, man, there's been a lot of conversation, so let me just throw this out. I don't know where Baskin and Robbins came from. I only know of one, and it's in Tennessee, okay? I loved them as a kid. I think in my mind I grabbed it thinking that it probably wasn't going to be a direct hit to somebody, because if I throw up Starbucks and somebody's sitting here with a Starbucks cup or Dunkin' Donuts, or it wasn't the intent just to go after somebody, and that's, for some reason Baskin Robbins popped up. So well, maybe some good comes out of picking them then. There you go. Oh. Uh-huh.